Hello and welcome to our program. We're in number 7 in this series of 1 John. Stay tuned. On our last program that John has changed quite a bit in his 50 years since he'd been walking with the Lord, when he was fighting about getting one of those thrones, and now 38 times in the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he's talking about the subject of love. He changed a lot. What caused him to change, and how can we have this kind of love that the Bible's talking about? Well, the Bible says this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it goes on and lists several more. Notice the word fruit is singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The first one on the list is love. So the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now we look at love today and we think that comes somewhere in the emotion department. No, Bible love, agape type love, comes in the Spirit. Now, we are a three-part being. God has made that very plain. We are a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. The body is what we see. We never see anybody. We see their body. We don't see them. They live inside the body. The person on the inside is a soul, and that is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. The third part of a man is the spirit. And we don't talk about that very much, but the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So love does not originate in the mind, the will, and the emotions. Oh, our worldly, fleshly type of love, that does. We look at someone who is attractive, and we say, oh, well, I could love that person. But the Lord's kind of love, the Bible kind of love, is way beyond that. Love in the Bible is given by the Spirit of God that would cause John to change from being that self-centered person who wanted one of those thrones to a person who is totally interested in helping others. We said in a previous broadcast over and over again, he said in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, I write unto you. Why did he write? Because he was concerned to help them. 25 times Paul said, I write unto you. I'm talking to you. I want to help you. And so Christ-like love is much more than a feeling that we would get from our emotion department. It is something that originates in the Spirit when the Holy Spirit deals with our spirit. Christ-like love, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is long-suffering, it is kind, it envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. How do I get that kind of love? Well, it is not born in the mind, will, and emotions, but it is something that originates in the spirit of a person. And so as far as a Christian is concerned, the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. When the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit on any subject, including love, if we are willing to listen, then we are willing to change. And so on a previous broadcast, we asked this question concerning 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10, where it says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Well, what comes first? Abiding in the light, and that makes you love your brother? Or you love your brother and then you'll abide in the light? Well, the answer is here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So if we abide in the light, the byproduct of that is we will love our brother in the sense that it's talking here. The word love is agape, this Christ-like love. And so love is much more than a feelings originate in the mind, the will, and the emotions. Love is much more than that. Love is something we do. It is an action. It is a commitment. It is an obligation. And it is a responsibility that we would prove the sincerity of our love. And now we have the word because. I want to look at that. It's found 21 times in 5 chapters of 1 John. 21 times. He said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you. Now, if you study it carefully, you'll find that who John was writing to here in this book was very different from whom Paul the Apostle was writing about in the church at Corinth. He says, I'm writing unto you. I'm not writing unto Corinthian Christians. He's writing to some very sincere Christians. He said, I'm writing unto you because your sins are forgiven. Now, 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we, Christians, confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, forgiving Christians of their sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the kind of Christians that Paul was writing to. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. They are taking advantage of this verse and confessing their sins as Christians, trying to live the way the Lord wants them to live. 1 John 1 and 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us who are already saved from all sin. He previously said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so John says, I'm writing to you. I'm writing to you. I'm writing to you because you are a Christ-like type of Christian. They want to do right. And that is why John is writing this letter. Then he said in 1 John 2 and verse number 13, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him from the beginning. Now he uses the word fathers in verse 13, young men, little children, then in verse 14, fathers, and again 14, young men, and I believe he's using these terms metaphorically, referring to what age they might be spiritually. And so he says, I write unto you fathers, you fellows who've been saved for a while, because, there's that word again, ye have known him from the beginning. Now that word known is a Greek word that means to learn, to know by studying something and getting to the place where they can perceive something because they've studied it out. He's writing to those kinds of Christians. Then he says, I write unto you young men, those are mid-say for a short time, because ye have overcome the wicked one. He were writing to young men who were spiritually young men who were holding fast the faith. Now we've talked about that a lot. The faith is in the Bible 42 times. Your faith is in the Bible 24 times. And what he's saying is your faith should be the faith. That's what he meant when he said, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. These Christians were. Now, they'd only been saved for a short time. They were young in the Lord. And he said, you have overcome the wicked one. He is writing to some very, very solid, genuine Christians. Then he says in verse 13, I write unto you, there's that word again, little children, because, there's that word again, ye have known the Father. Once again, they are little children. They've only been saved a short time. And he's writing to Christians who already had some spiritual perception. And then in John 2 and 1 John 2 and 14, he says, I write unto you, very personal, fathers, sincere, older Christians, because, why, ye have known him that is from the beginning. Again, they had taken hold of the faith. And he said in 1 John 5 and 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so John is saying, your faith, my faith, our faith, and the faith is one and the same. So he's writing to Christians of like mind. And then in 1 John 2 and 14, he said, I have written unto you young men because, what did he say? You're strong and the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now he says in 1 John 4 and 4, we overcome the wicked one because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we see here that John is writing to some very sincere Christians, the opposite to what Paul was writing to when he wrote 1 Corinthians. And now, even though these are very sincere Christians, he's going to warn them about the world. And in 1 and 2 John, in only five little chapters, the word world occurs 23 times. And here in verse number 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And then he says, "The world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so he has a warning here for these very sincere Christians. Love not the world. Now that word means the system by which they live. Neither the things of the world. That's the stuff. We get so concerned about getting all this materialistic stuff. He says that's all going to pass away, but those that do the will of God abideth forever. And so we can focus on that which is temporary, or we can focus on that which is eternal. And so what John is trying to do is get these very sincere Christians to be warned, watch out, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Watch out, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the world out there. He said those things will pass away, but you will live forever. Focus on the things that are eternal and not on the things that are temporary. And so the Word of God talks about love. Love your neighbor, love your enemies, love the Lord, love your brother, love one another. That's all in the Bible. And then there was those Pharisees who loved the salutations and loved the uppermost seats in the synagogue and loved the greetings of the people, and those that had a love of money, and then those, that pastor that had left his first love. And then it talks about the love of the Spirit, love with faith, love in the Spirit, love of the truth, those that love his appearing, those that love faith and life, those that love to pray. And he said, let love be multiplied. He said, talked about the labor of love. He talks about speaking the truth in love. There is so much in the Word of God about love. Is it any wonder that the Bible says the greatest of these is love? Now we get to 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18. He changes the focus a little bit. And he says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We'll look at that in our next program. Be sure and tune in.